Welcome to Listen Betcha Presents. Tell me why you're special. This is the arena where we don't just talk about success, we talk about being seen. Because the truth is, being talented isn't enough anymore, and being qualified isn't enough. Being experienced isn't enough. There are people out here changing lives every day, and nobody knows who they are. Not because they're not good, because they're invisible. And in a world where search engines and AI are deciding who gets recommended, visibility has become a skill. And here's the deeper question. How many people are living beneath their potential because they're waiting to be discovered instead of learning how to be seen? So today we're going to talk about expertise, credibility, AI, reputation, trust, and why some of the most capable people are getting overlooked. Today's guest is Ashley Smith. She is a business strategist, a former real estate leader, and creator of The Proof Gap. It's a concept helping professionals understand why expertise alone is not enough anymore. Ashley, thank you so much for coming into the hot seat. I guess, like, take us back to that moment, the first moment that you realized that someone incredibly talented was being completely overlooked because, not because they lacked the skill, but because nobody could see their value. What happened and what launched you on your mission?
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here and chat about this. The answer is twofold. One of it is based in my professional experience, particularly in a legacy sector, so we can dive a bit into that. And the second one's personal, like me going through my own transition and feeling very capable. And like I have a lot to offer, but that I hadn't necessarily put myself in the right position to have to deal with an unexpected pivot. So we can go both ways because I think both sort of stories matter because I
Yeah.
think the industry side and where the world is going, how consumers are changing, and how people are maybe caught up in the old ways of doing things. There's going to be a lot of folks, I think, sort of caught off guard. And then there's a lot of people like me who become moms and how end up with like caregiving scenarios that they weren't anticipating. And they're like, I need to reinvent myself in my 40s. And what am I going to do? Right. So we can dive into whichever side of that you want to lead with.
Let's start with the business side and then the real life side where the mom pivots, because I've got listeners that would be served by both.
Yeah, cool. So as you mentioned, I spent the majority of my career in real estate as a realtor. 18 years in like a really booming real estate city in Vancouver, Canada. That's basically the industry where I come from. And but I also got really engaged in the profession really early on in my career. And what that means is like into leadership, sitting on boards in the industry, and eventually becoming chair of an organization that represented over 14,000 professionals. And so that took me, across the country here in Canada and getting to know a lot of the leadership, and to some extent in the States too. But and a lot of the macro trends are the same across the industry. So getting to see how shifts in technology, how shifts in consumer behavior were changing how people were, the value that they were perceiving with their professionals, but also how people are very slow to change. And so, a lot of the stuff you see in real estate can be very sexy and very exciting. But for the most part, the majority of the best and most successful professionals are like pretty quiet behind the scenes, heads down, working, haven't changed a lot in terms of their operations and strategies, very relationship driven, very reputation driven, referral driven. And so, as like I got started in January 2008, which was an interesting time for anybody who remembers the financial crisis and like how the housing markets all just kind of stopped. And so it was also the same time when social media started. And so I leaned in because I was broke and I was like, I had the ability to learn something new. And so for me, leaning in on that side was really important for my success. And eventually things got better and my business grew. But I saw a lot of people, like I'd go to events, I'd go to conferences, I'd see all the, year after year after year, everyone talking about marketing and visibility, but more through like the social media playbook type of thing. And a lot of the professionals, they'd sit in these, sessions, they'd learn, they understood it, but they're like, either I don't need that, or it's not for me, or I don't understand, or they try and then they don't have the time. And so just, and this is common across a lot of sectors, right? Like people know the things that maybe they could do to grow or scale, but they often may not. And so for a lot of, for a long period of time, that was okay because people had their own systems and they did have the success. But now what we're seeing as AI is emerging, people are changing how they get information. They're changing, they're far more specific and more comfortable sharing their like very unique circumstances, the very unique problems. They're starting to have conversations with these AI bots, and even Google has recently changed its whole search sort of framework. So how it's starting to show, answers and make recommendations based on how users are making inquiries. So these things are all changing like really quickly and in real time. And so what I've observed is a lot of professionals across various, talk anything, fitness, like all people where people provide high value, maybe for a higher price, but they're mostly invisible because they haven't had to have that footprint. And if you're invisible, these search engines don't know who you are. They can't tell people that you're the best. They can't tell people you're the expert. They certainly can't showcase what your specific skills are. Like if you're self-employed, particularly if you're an entrepreneur or solopreneur, like most of your big wins and how your the metrics, the things that make you wonderful are in the memories of your clients, right? They're not like recorded in a way where other people can vet them and understand, like, okay, you're not just the top salesperson as an example, but you actually like really guide people through very specific scenarios and you're an expert in XYZ. So I don't mean to lean too far into the real estate side, but I've really observed this and I've observed the change even in my own behavior. So like when people come to me, which is pretty often, asking for referrals, like, hey, can you recommend somebody from this market? Because I had contacts all across, the country. I send trusted referrals, names that I know are people who kick butt. But I'm a little bit sheepish, maybe is the right way to say it, because when I look them up to send their contact info, I'm like, oh gosh, they don't look like the pro that I know they are. Like they don't, and if I were to ask Google, like, why should I hire this person? I know they're not going to get the information because their online footprint doesn't showcase it. And so maybe I've rambled on a little long, but it is a real problem, particularly for people who've been around and have really earned their stripes. A lot of them are the ones who have the most to offer, but are the most invisible online. And as the world changes, it's not just about like personal circumstances or even market circumstances where consumers, like maybe they don't want to pay you as much anymore because they are doing half the work themselves, right? But also, if things change enough where you're like, I really have to pivot into a rebuild, I need to transition. Like it can feel like you're starting from zero, or even if you're in like a senior role in a company, right? Like if you don't have something that really showcases what it is that you're great at, you're competing. And so for the younger entrepreneurs and business professionals and people who are building something for themselves, this is, I would say, more of an opportunity. Because they may be visible in other ways, social media, people might kind of be, recognize their faces, but are they showcasing their expertise deliberately and intentionally? We can dive a little bit into like what that means. But because their senior counterparts are more invisible, there's a huge opportunity, and for the risk for one group is kind of the opportunity for the other to like creep in and be like, I'm the expert, and I know this is because I'm showing you all of the ways. And so that's kind of the surface level. So the proof gap is really the disconnect between your real world experience and expertise and how it shows up online and how discoverable and searchable it is. And I would argue that if you're like top tier, you should be recommended by AI. And if it's not recommending you and people are asking, you know, for help with certain problems or certain needs, that's a gap in itself, because you probably deserve to be in the top five, kind of a thing, to be cited. So that's the gap. It's most people have one. And I do think that we can all take a little bit of accountability to position ourselves, especially right now, because most people aren't doing it. It's not that hard. It doesn't require being what I say. You don't have to be a content creator. And if you're watching on video, I'm like saying that in quotations, you know, it doesn't mean you don't have to put content out, but you don't have to be chasing an audience or an algorithm. You really just have to be indexing your judgment, your depth, your thinking, your unique experience in like intentional ways, easy ways. You don't have to be technical. So that way these search engines are able to like connect the dots, know you, who you are, and tell the world why you're great.
Yeah. I love that. And thank you for saying that you don't have to be, or you alluded to not having to be tech savvy, because I know myself and a lot of people I work with, like we're just not. So there's hope for us.
There is. And that's what I have found has been a little bit of a void, is that everyone's, you know, when people are talking about marketing and personal branding, like that idea of personal branding, you know, so that resonates with me. Like, I like the idea of building a personal brand. That's why I'm here. That's what I'm doing. I want to be out there. But I know so many people who are like, it just doesn't resonate. Like, they've never wanted, you know, they've never chased the vanity metrics. They want to do their business. They want to do their job well. But they just don't think about the like broadcasting stuff in that way as something that they want to do, or they think it's too hard. Right. And so there are strategic ways to like skip all of that. You don't need an audience. You don't need people watching you, but you do need to have that information out there so people can find it.
Yeah. You talked a little bit about, you know, just with AI and the things that are happening there. How has that changed how trust is built?
It's huge. I mean, I think that trust in general, I mean, this is a bit anecdotal, but I think trust in general is just going down, right? I think we all have our reasons why we're cautious to trust people, things going on in the world and that sort of a thing. But when it comes to the tech, the bar is zero now, right? So with AI, whether you're talking about written articles, whether you're talking about social media content, whether you're talking about video, so much of it can be AI generated photos, obviously. Everything can be AI generated or AI adapted. And so it's like, you know, I think this kind of goes in a different direction. I think there's going to be, and we're starting to see this like craving and this appetite for like just authentic, human, imperfect, like, you know, it's real, you know, you're hearing from a real person or a real point of view. But from the AI side, AI search engines feel the same way we do. They don't trust anything because they know it's all slop, right? Like, or they know it's, on the scale of for slop. So some things are purely like clickbait slop, or like trying to grab your attention or eyeballs. But some of it's like the SEO and marketing tactics that businesses have taken for decades now. It's like, you know, pick all your keywords, write a bunch of art, like blog articles, put it in the right spot on your website, which is all great. And it's actually, some of these things kind of still matter. But if you're just using AI to create, back to real estate, like the top 10 ways to stage your house if you're selling in summer, right? Like, it's generic information, it's generic insight, and these search engines are no longer just looking for keywords because there's so much of it to filter through. It's looking for like domain authority and real explicit and clear sort of signals that showcase that if the content, for example, an article is adding something new, it's adding a unique perspective, it has a unique voice, or it's showcasing real experience. So that often means showing some nuance, right? Like, if you're in a business, like your marketplace might have a different regulatory environment than a different one, and that might impact how you guide clients, right? Like, and so generic content isn't for the most part, going to be able to touch on that stuff. And so, and Google too. Like Google used to be able to pay to play. And of course, you still sort of can, but the impact is not so good anymore. It's only been maybe 2 to 3 weeks where Google announced, like, they're gone are the days or like the 10 blue links. And it's really leaning into AI overviews and encouraging AI conversations, like long form conversations, so it can drive people to the information that it wants. It's more and more not taking people off of Google and onto websites. And so that's again where this SEO stuff doesn't like, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of the SEO people are freaking out because their playbook is far less important now, which I think in some ways is good. Like this is actually AI competing with itself in some ways. It recognizes that most of the stuff is garbage or regurgitated information, and it wants to bring value to the people who are searching. So it wants to try to provide depth and real specific clear information. And so for folks, whether it's for themselves as entrepreneurs or as professionals or as businesses, you know, if you can intentionally deliver twice a month things that really add depth, that showcase your expertise, you're gonna start improving the signals that showcase real authority, real expertise, and trustworthiness. Your question was about trust, and trustworthiness is actually like one of the four pillars that Google is using in its search engine sort of parameters. And all the other LLMs and AI tools are like, they all work a little differently, but they're all kind of leaning into the same kind of thing. Like they want to know that the information they're sort of citing is accurate. Like we know they hallucinate, they're gonna get better, but their in main like the main sort of role for AI is to not guess. The main role is to like really clearly be able to showcase real information. And like I'm gonna cut this off because I know I'm rambling a little, but my name is Ashley Smith. I have one of the most common what female names in like the English language. Even when I was like top of my game in real estate and pretty visible at the time, like there was another Ashley Smith realtor in my market. So like Google that, and you know, we both would have had our own social media stuff. So how does AI know which one's which, right? Like you have to, there's, it's not hard, but little things that you can do to connect, like, you know, if you're posting articles on LinkedIn or whatever, making sure there's like a loop back to your main website or other things you're doing, so that reinforces and builds layers and builds depth and builds that expertise and eliminates guessing. Because if there's another option out there, that's very clear and specific, even if, you know, if you're talking about a competitor who's been in business for 6 months, but they've been killing it with their online stuff, like it might pull this information. It might say, hey, this person looks new, but they look like they know what they're
Yeah,
talking
they're
about,
doing.
right? So, yeah.
I love that. And first of all, I just want to say I'm sitting here the whole time crushed because I'm late to the SEO game. I'm just going to say I'm so late. And I just put a request in, my web designer's redoing everything to just get the my email on the blog list and do the SEO words. Like I literally just learned how to do all this like a
And
couple weeks ago.
you know, so many people, especially like entrepreneurs, small business, solopreneurs, like most people haven't done a lot of this stuff, right? And in many cases, they haven't really had to, right? It wasn't where they were building trust or how. Just the thing is now people are more likely to want to vet you or like, hey, maybe I want to take a meeting with this person. I'm going to Google them, see what it says. Like, is it worth even just having a call, right? And so, but I think the fact that the SEO stuff is changing means you're not late, because a lot of those things, I'm not gonna say what you're doing with your marketing person doesn't matter, but I would say that some of the most valuable steps you can take don't require a lot of this stuff. It's more about like, you know, when I'm working with my clients who are trying to enhance their online presence, it's like, just what are the three things you really want to be known for and should be known for? And are we getting those things online in a meaningful full way. And then yes, like technical, like try to connect those dots. We do a scan and diagnostic, like the sort of simple things. Like I'm not a tech person. I'm not a marketing guru, right? Like I'm a, like, this is really about practical things that, I would say if you're sharing your, insights, you are doing the exact right thing. Actually, you're doing my favorite thing. And that's podcasting, and we can get into why. And so, and most people aren't doing that. So you are not behind at all. You're like way ahead.
Thanks for giving me that back.
No, 100%. So, you know, we can dive into a little bit of why that matters. But yeah. And I think for people, they don't have to do everything, but totally ignoring it and being like, I'm just going to keep things like keep my static website up. Maybe I'll post every now and then here and there. Like that's just, I would say it's not a strategy for success. And the nice thing is like, it doesn't have to be overwhelming on the flip side. It just has to be intentional. You have to know, you know, why you, how you want to be seen in that professional light. So it doesn't have to, you don't have to chase the algorithm. The big thing I tell people is like, you actually don't need an audience at all. You could start a podcast and you don't have to tell anybody that you're doing it. You don't need listeners. But if you're giving, if you're, so this is, I'll digress a little. Like my favorite thing to tell people is if you're comfortable, hop on a Zoom call or whatever platform you're comfortable with, and have a conversation, like a weekly or biweekly conversation with maybe an aligned professional. So, you know, maybe that's someone in like within your industry, but adjacent. So if you're in like health, like maybe if you're a fitness person, maybe you're talking to someone in nutrition. If you're a realtor, maybe you're talking with a mortgage broker or whatever, right? Like, or maybe you're talking to somebody who does what you do, but in a different market, and hop on a call and have some intention, but no script, and just have the same conversation you'd probably have if you were just kind of shooting it and talk about, you know, what are the observations you've made in the last 2 weeks? What are your clients asking you about? What are you noticing is changing? You know, how did you help somebody specific? Like keep the privacy stuff private, but you know, storytell an anonymous case study about how you helped somebody and dive into like the specific, like the sort of weeds a little bit, and showcase like your judgment. Like, how did you help make a decision? How did you help them navigate? Those are signals that are human signals that showcase that you like know what you're doing, that you really did it rather than just made ChatGPT come up with something, and that you care, right? Which I think also can come out through with this. And so, you know, have 20-minute recording. I crop out the beginning and end that maybe isn't for public consumption. Don't worry about polish otherwise. Don't worry about presentation, and load that thing up into what we call an RSS feed for podcasts. And that's actually really easy to do. That takes a quick Google search and it's very inexpensive, and in some cases possibly free. Like it's not hard. And like, you know, the thing I think a lot of people don't know is that most of these streaming platforms and hosting platforms now create AI generated transcripts of those conversations. So now that full conversation, even if you do nothing else, is indexed on the internet. And you know where it's really hard to create slop, and where there's people, everyone says, oh, everyone has a podcast now. Well, you know what? Not really. There's only so many active podcasts. Like lots of people try and start. But at the end of the day, there's far less RSS feeds out there compared to YouTube channels. My experience has shown me that even Google is citing and trusting RSS feeds faster than YouTube. So if you release the same content, and I recommend people do if they're comfortable, like release it on YouTube too, because Google does own it, and it, you know, it loves video. Although you can do audio too on YouTube, but it's citing like Apple Podcasts and Amazon and Spotify first, because it's seen as a trusted third party. It's seen as someone physically had to go create that RSS feed. And it maybe costs $12 a month or whatever. And, you know, it's a human voice behind it. And so it's adding, it's sort of putting a lot of weight and value on those things. And so that, as long as you, you know, connect it to your website again, you don't even need to showcase it. Just have it, you know, both of them pointing back at one another. So the search engines know you're the same people, your name's in there, your role, your marketplace, what it is you do. These things over time are going to start really showcasing that depth. And like, if you want to take it to the next level, once you get your little system flowing, because again, it's like 20-minute call twice a month, take those AI generated transcripts, pop that into ChatGPT. Like, there's no harm in using the AI tools, but then say like, help me synthesize this into like an optimal or an optimized 800 word article. You know, I want to focus on this topic or highlight the three takeaways or the most insightful points of this conversation. Make sure your name's in there. If you're doing it with a partner, then you're also helping build like their online footprint too, which is great. Maybe that can help with some reciprocity or some business growth. And if they share it, because they're then citing you, like if they have it on their website and they're actually a business and a professional, then that's a signal from a trusted third party talking about you and talking about all the things you're wonderful at. And that's another huge signal, because that's kind of like the best thing you can do is be referenced and cited by others rather than just like making claims on your own, you know, hub online. And so you can really take this, like you can keep going, you can make clips and social media content or take quotes, like you can continue doing it, but you don't have to, right? But as you get more comfortable and used to it, you might say, oh, you know what, there's an opportunity here, I can start, and I feel more comfortable, I'm now comfortable to start sharing it with my network or for whatever.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you just went on this whole thing that I'm just now I'm just like front and center, because this is everything I'm telling people all the time about starting a podcast, how important it is, and people are like, it's saturated, it's blah blah blah. I mean, listen, bitch, there's like 1,000 pizza places and 100 coffee shops on the same block, and they all do really well. Like, you're totally fine. Your message is always going to be something else. But what you're saying about just the fact that all of the curated bullshit, I think, is exhausting. It's exhausting for everybody. When I go online now, I'm seeing like AI videos. I can, you know, everything's chat. Everything is just, you know it. Like, no one's actually creating stuff, and it's exhausting. And I say, like, real voices are going to matter. And now is the time to start your podcast, because people are going to want that. We can't AI this conversation. Like, it's just impossible. It's impossible. And so people are going to crave that.
And no one can duplicate your insights, right? So like, you know, there might be certain industries where there's more podcasts about that topic. Yeah. Sure. But if you have unique lived experience and expertise, like your insights are different than anybody else's. Yeah. And so I would argue that there's not nearly as many podcasts as people think, and especially active. But even if so, there's going to be far less in your lane and far, far less in your lane with your point of view, with your like in your market area or whatever. And so like you could, in theory, become highly searchable, and like maybe no one's listening to your podcast, but if you're the only one creating like weekly content on that, you know, it may not take that long for you to really start being the one that comes up the most when people are searching for someone like you, right? Like, there's different sides to this proof gap that I talk about and how to show proof. And the first thing is to make sure you show up the way you want when people know your name, right? Like, is it showcasing you now? Is it giving enough depth? Is it talking about the things like you want to be showcased for? Is it old? Is it whatever? But then the next step is really like, could you be cited as like a thought leader or a top, you know, the top 5% in something? And you might think, you know what, there's no way. Like, again, back to real estate, 14,000 realtors, now 15,000 realtors in my market area. And it's like, how can I compete with that? Yeah, well, if most of them aren't actually showcasing anything in this way, you know, it doesn't take that, I shouldn't say it doesn't take that much effort. But if you're strategic about it, and most people aren't, you're really going to be able to start positioning yourself probably even above, like, so you can punch above your weight, I think. And so it's a huge opportunity right now. So yeah.
I 100% agree. And I mean, I even made a whole video for my website that shows people, because I was gifted. I had a friend who had a very successful podcast. He sat me down. I said, "Give me the basics. I'm not tech. I'm not editing. I'm not doing any of that shit. Like, how do I just get a show posted?" And he taught me everything. And I'm 4 years later, 700 episodes later, three shows later, like I'm still doing that. So I gift that to people. Like, I will literally tell you how to sit down and do everything she just said. It's so simple,
Yeah.
that, I'm excited to give people that, because I just think it's important that people do it.
Yeah.
And I share the advice he gave me, right? Which is like, do 10 in the beginning and then don't fucking quit. Those are his
Yeah.
words. Don't fucking
Yeah.
quit. And
Yeah.
I think I see so many podcasters, or even people that I interview, they're like, I'm like, "Do you have a show?" And they're like, "I haven't talked on it for like 2 years." And I'm thinking, you're a guest here. That's beautiful. You're guesting. I think that's amazing. But if people don't understand the power in having your own show, like, I think it's so much more powerful than even that guest experience. So, just, I mean, going back through all of that, I very much agree with everything you're saying. What would you say to the person listening right now who knows that they're good at what they do and they do feel invisible? What's the next right step for them?
I mean, if you feel first of all, like do a little audit of yourself and like Google yourself, do it in incognito mode, look at the AI overview, what's it saying? If you do use an AI tool, do this like in ChatGPT or Claude or Perplexity or whatever, like search yourself, see what it says. Start asking questions about your expertise, like, oh, is Ashley like a good realtor to sell luxury homes over $6 million in this neighborhood and blah blah blah. It's like, what does it say? And then start asking for recommendations for like maybe a new chat, not the same. Start a new chat and start pretending like you're a consumer or your client or your buyer, your customer or your potential partner, like maybe even your potential employer, right? Like start thinking about who you want to start shining for, and ask the kinds of questions you think would drive people to you. Like, so lean into your real expertise and your real experience. And then you can maybe start thinking about like where you want to go, where you want to grow. But lean into the stuff you're actually known for in real life now and start seeing like who's being recommended or what business is being recommended or what person, and reverse engineer it a little bit. First, go see what they're doing. Recognize that these AI things are changing in real time. And as more information, people start figuring out how they want to position themselves, that bar might kind of go up. So it depends on, your market and your business. But take a look at what the people who are getting recommended now are doing on, not in their business, but on their online presence. Like, look at their website, see what sources are actually being cited. So, like, maybe they're recommending this professional, but they've sourced an article, or maybe they've sourced a podcast interview or whatever. Just see what it is that's like encouraging these AI engines to bring these people up. And then literally ask it, like, why are you recommending these people? What are the thinking like, or businesses? Like, why do you think these are credible, trustworthy, high authority professionals that I should reach out to? And then not just the answer for, it'll give you an answer based on what it sees in terms of like the skill or the expertise, but then also ask like, okay, well, what are you seeing specifically in their like web presence that's making you believe this? Like, so I help clients and we go through this, and I do advisory services and like assessments and strategy work. But the reality is you can do this yourself if you just start asking the right questions. At the very least, you can see like what's working and why this is happening, right? And so then you can decide what's my minimum proof I want to start showing to be able to show up the way that I want. So that's a whole kind of other conversation. But maybe I'll mention that if you're not showing up the way you want, which most people aren't, at the very least, think about like you as a consumer, as a buyer, as a potential customer. Like if you're going to hire somebody or buy something, especially if it's got some costs to it, and especially if it's going to impact your life in some way, whether it's going to impact your financial situation, your actual lifestyle or your career, like it has, the outcome matters and it costs something. So you're like, okay, What do you look for if you're going to hire somebody or pay somebody? Like, what is the vetting that you're doing? What are the signals you're needing to see? What kind of questions are you asking? Not just to know, oh, this person's been around a long time. Maybe that's good enough. But maybe I need to know that they really understand my problem. Like, how am I seeing that? What's showing up that makes me feel, okay, this is helping me feel comfortable to either make the call or hire them. And so you have to kind of put that mirror on yourself. So I call this your MVP, your minimum viable proof. So what's the proof, your minimum proof you need as a consumer? And then turn the mirror on yourself and say, am I offering this to my prospective clients or customers when they look for me? And if not, that's where I'd start. Like, you don't have to be discoverable through a search engine as like a recommendation right away. Step one is just to be understood, found properly, like appropriately summarized, like, so just start there. And honestly, some of these things can be as simple as updating your About Me page on your website, like making sure the information is good enough to address some of those things. Maybe add a couple case studies. Like, I know we're going a little long here, but if people are not comfortable or not ready, or just it feels like too much work to start the podcast thing, like literally brain dump your thoughts into your phone, talk out loud, open up your recorder, and then get the AI generated transcript from that. And then do the same thing that I said regarding the podcast, like the podcast articles. So like, ask your AI to take this brain dump, turn it into something meaningful. If you have a story about how you helped a client or a case study, like if you help someone today, after you're done, sit in your car and think, why did this matter? What were the specific things that were helpful for this person? And what, like, these things to you might feel like not very much, but they're the things that people who don't know, they don't know. Right. And so that's where a lot of this value is. And this is where a lot of judgment comes. And so, add one or two little articles or blog posts to your website, add a LinkedIn newsletter and just update it like once a month and connect the dots. Like, these things will have a huge impact on how you show up. So there's lots of easy ways. You just have to be like intentional about it.
I love that. How do people get resourced with you, and how can they go through the proof gap?
Yeah, so you can follow me on like most social channels. My handle is at Ashley Smith now. I'm lucky I've managed to figure out some way to have some consistency across these profiles. So at Ashley Smith now. You can go to my website, proofplaybook.com. We'll actually redirect and take you to like all my show your proof stuff, some articles, some YouTube videos, some podcast stuff, but also when every once in a while I'm hosting workshops, I am offering some like one-on-one advisory stuff. I know that's not for everybody, but I think just taking a look and having a refresher and a reminder about like why this stuff matters can be helpful. I do have what I call like a proof score self-assessment. It's just a free tool that you can use to kind of help walk you through this like personal diagnostic where you stand right now. And that's something I would almost suggest doing like every couple months a little bit if you can, to kind of pulse check how you're showing up. And when it comes to social media, everyone's like chasing followers and views. In my mind, with this, the metrics are like, okay, what are the things I want to be known for? And how am I adding a layer to it every couple weeks? And as long as you're delivering on that, that's a huge win, right? And it might not be as obvious right now, like because people might not be liking it or whatever, but over time that's going to compound. And so that's like you're reaching your goal every time you're adding a layer. And so you can post something and it can be gone forever, but this stuff can really help build you up.
I agree with that. And I think, podcast is an incredible legacy if you're thinking about the impact you guys want to leave, because it's just there. So, Ashley, this is the part of the show where I'm going to tell you what I think makes you special. And it's not the strategy, it's not the technology, it's not even the proof gap. I think that stuff is amazing. But really, what makes you special is that you see value where other people are completely missing it. You have recognized that there are extraordinary people walking around every day, quietly changing lives, and they're wondering, like, why is that opportunity not finding me? Instead of teaching people to become louder, you're teaching them to become clear. And I think, I mean, that's something everybody could use right now. You're helping people create evidence of the value that they've already earned. I think it's incredible. Your work is amazing. We're definitely aligned on a lot of your messaging. And to everyone listening, you guys, stop hiding. Your story matters, your expertise matters, your experience matters, and it's not because you need attention, but because somebody needs what you have already learned. God did not give you gifts so they could stay buried. He gave them to you so they could serve people. So get radically honest with yourself, ask the better questions, be courageous, be willing to be visible, and please remember that your mess is your message. The struggles that you've overcome, the lessons that you've learned, the battles that you've survived, these may be the exact proof somebody else needs that change is possible. Let's show people what's possible. If this episode spoke to you, make sure you share it out so people can get resourced with Ashley's proof gap method. And if you guys are ready for the hot seat, I dare you to come tell me why you're special. Ashley, thank you so much. This was a great conversation. You served my audience well.
Thank you.